In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Christos Anesti. Christ is risen. Very good. Today, my beloved, is Thomas Sunday. It's a minor feast of the church. It's the day in which the Lord appeared to the disciples again in the upper room, a week after the first appearance on the day of resurrection, to confirm the faith of St. Thomas. And we'll find the theme of this whole week in the readings and in the happenings, the post-resurrection appearances, were to confirm the faith of the disciples and the believers, because they would form the nucleus of the church, and they would be the ones who would be entrusted to go and preach to the whole world. So he appeared to them to confirm their faith, because this faith would be the cornerstone to all the believers and the church as a whole. This is why St. Gregory of Nazianzus, he says, the unbelief of Thomas is more profitable to our faith than the belief of the other disciples. So sometimes we look at St. Thomas in a bad sense, but I think if we were in his place, we might be in the same position, in which we want to be confirmed that he truly rose from the dead. So when we go and preach and we share the gospel message, we preach what we have seen and heard. So I'd like to speak a little bit this morning about how to strengthen one's faith based on some of the appearances that were after the resurrection. But before we speak about how to strengthen our faith, we need to understand there are different definitions of faith in scriptures. For example, the first maybe definition we might come across is faith as a sense of trust or reliance on God. For example, when St. Paul says in the book of Hebrews, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is a trust in something that we don't see or observe, but that will happen later on, like the kingdom of heaven. No one has seen the kingdom of heaven, but we trust and hope and rely on him and his promises. The second is definition of faith is being faithfulness, or being a person being faithful or loyal. As it says, again, St. Paul says to the Galatians, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, and kindness, and so on. So this faith is something that's given to us as a gift. And also in other parts of Scripture, it speaks about us being faithful. Like, in the, for example, when the Lord spoke about the talents, when he gave the five, the two, and the one, he said, good and faithful servants, you're faithful over a few, I'll make you ruler over many. So this idea of faithfulness is also another definition of faith. And lastly, the faith is a belief or a conviction. Again, St. Paul says to the Ephesians, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So this faith here is the belief of what God said is to be true, or what Christ said is to be true. So how is it that we can strengthen our faith? If you look in the first, you know, example, which was today's reading, the example of St. Thomas. The Lord appeared to them in the upper room when the doors were thoroughly shut, or they were shut, and he says to St. Thomas, and he says, reach your finger here and look at my side, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. So the Lord looked and said, and saw that St. Thomas' faith needed strengthening, especially if he was going to be one who's going to preach the gospel. So he allowed him to have this personal encounter with the Lord. The first time he appeared to the disciples, Thomas wasn't there. So he made another trip to the disciples specifically for St. Thomas to confirm his faith. Our faith in the Lord Jesus is strengthened by our encounters with him. The more we encounter him, the stronger our faith becomes. It's similar to our friendships. How would you grow in your trust in faith in a friend? It's not from the first meeting, maybe not even the second meeting, but it's meeting after meeting, you begin to trust them, and you share some information with them, and you see that they're reliable and trustworthy, so maybe you might share a little bit more, and your relationship with them deepens because of this trust. So this personal encounter increases one's faith in another. Similarly, the more that we encounter the Lord, whether it be through prayer, attending the midnight praises, reading scripture, and so on. These encounters with Christ are ones that strengthen our faith. The second way in which we can increase our strength in our faith is by consuming the Word. by consuming the word. This example comes from the two disciples when the Lord appeared to them on the road to Emmaus. So two of the disciples were on their way back to their hometown, and the Lord met them on the way, and they were very downcast because of what happened. The last that they know is that their master was crucified and was buried, and now we are hearing that some people are saying that he was no longer in the tomb and that he appeared to them. And in their discussion, the Lord appeared to them and says, "Why are you so sad? What's going on?" And then they said, "Well, haven't you heard of what happened in the city?" And he said, "What happened?" And in part of their expression to him, of course they didn't know that the Lord was the Lord at the time. In their expression to him, they said, "We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." So they're hoping that the Lord Jesus would be the one who would redeem Israel. And he would be. But they didn't know that yet. But this is their, you know, the sense of their heart. They're very downcast. We had high hopes in this person, but we don't know where he is now. So they heard about the resurrection from St. Mary Magdalene, of course, and from Peter and John and the other disciples. But their faith was shaken. Their faith was shaken. Is he the true prophet or is he not? Then the Lord responded to the two of them and he said to them what? He said, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe." So he's targeting here what? Their faith. Their faith is weak and needs strengthening. "And slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things that concerning himself. So he says, he rebukes their faith, and then he says, isn't this how things should be? Why does he say this? It's because all the prophecies say this about him. And Christ himself told the disciples that he would rise on the third day. So he's saying this should be the case, but your faith is just weak and needs some strengthening. So he begins to expound to them the scriptures, how the prophecies have been fulfilled. And then we hear after, so of course he goes with them, and then they get to their house and they beg him to stay, so he stays, and they begin to have a meal together. And the Lord took broke, gave it to them, so he gave them the Eucharist. And then it says immediately after they partook of the Eucharist, their eyes were open. And then he disappeared from them altogether. But what does he say to them, or what do the disciples say after they realize that this was Christ? They said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So didn't our hearts burn from within us? His words burned their hearts and, you know, created this kind of zeal and enlightenment in their hearts. But they didn't know that it was him at the time. So this reading and studying of scripture opens our eyes and strengthens our faith. The more that we read and we study and attend Bible studies and listen to Bible studies and have our Bibles and we're highlighting and underlining, all of these things strengthen our faith in God. We begin to see the reality of Scripture. The things that it says actually happen around us in reality. Even the things that maybe are like negative observances. We see the world, for example, without God, they go into chaos, selfishness, violence, anger, and all of these things. And this is what we observe around us, right? It's very easy. The other thing that strengthens our word, so we consume the actual word of God in Scripture, and then we consume the word as in his Eucharist. He also says, after the passage when he gave them communion, it says, "Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight." So this Eucharist is a mystery of enlightenment. Again, if you think about, okay, if I asked all of us, myself included, what changes from the moment we come into the church and we partake of the Eucharist and we leave the church, we may not be able to tell me. I can't tell you what changed. But time after time, there's this enlightenment, this renewing, this continual nourishment in Christ that happens to all the believers who partake of the Eucharist. And this has been happening since the beginning when he instituted it, till this day, and it will continue to happen until eternal life. It's a mystery, and its work in us is a mystery. Look what we say in the liturgy of St. Basil. He says, we say about the mysteries, "Given for us for salvation, remission of sins, and eternal life to those who partake of him." Maybe it's easy to understand the remission of sins because through his blood we have the remission of sins and eternal life because the Lord said, unless you partake of this, you don't have any, you have no life in you. Understood. But what does it mean when he says given for us for salvation? This is actually the working of our salvation day to day. We come every week or every couple of times a week and partake of the Eucharist, and this works out our salvation. So it is a way that it strengthens our faith in the Lord and his promises through both Scripture and the Eucharist as well. The third way that our faith is strengthened is by our restoration, by our restoration. And this we saw was the gospel from this morning, when the Lord appeared to St. Peter and the disciples, who after the resurrection, they went back to the Sea of Tiberias to go fishing. They go back to their trade as before. But if we can focus on the person of St. Peter here for a moment, the last part, the last time the Lord left St. Peter was that gaze that he saw him as he denied him three times. And then St. Peter goes to the tomb, he doesn't see the Lord. So now he has his first encounter with the Lord. So his last encounter with the Lord, he was weeping bitterly. He was weeping bitterly because of his sin. And then he saw the gaze that was in the eyes of the Lord Jesus. And I said before, these were the gaze of compassion, to remind St. Peter that he is that Christ prayed for him and he will be restored. This perhaps must have been the lowest point in St. Peter's life, is when he denied him three times and he saw that gaze from the Lord Jesus. Then at the Sea of Tiberias, he was fishing with the disciples, and the Lord comes to the shore, and they don't know that it's the Lord yet, and they caught no fish, so he yells from the shore and says, cast the net on the right side. So they all of the sudden, they start getting all of these fish. Who immediately recognizes him? It's St. Peter. St. Peter immediately recognizes him. Do you remember what he does? They took off his shirt, and he jumped in the ocean, and he swam, to shore to meet him, right? So he went, I mean, he actually had his shirt off and he put his shirt back on, and then he went because out of respect he kept his shirt on. So he swam with his shirt on to meet the Lord Jesus. Then in his encounter, then they sit and they have breakfast together. Then the Lord pulls St. Peter aside and he tells him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Notice he doesn't call him Peter here because he denied him, so he lost his rank of his apostleship. So now he calls him Simon, son of Jonah, his common name. And then he says, do you love me? And St. Peter answers and says, he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And the Lord says to him, then feed my sheep. Then he asks him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said, yes, you know, Lord, that I love you. And he said, okay, tend my sheep. Then the third time he said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Then we see that St. Peter's heart grieved a little bit because he's asking me three times. The same three times that I denied him, he's asking me again. And then if you remember, before he denied the Lord Jesus, he had just promised him that he would go and die with him. But he wasn't able to because he was scared. So now he's thinking to himself, uh-oh, is something else coming? And he no longer has confidence in himself. So what is his response? He says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. He didn't say yes, but he says, you know all things and you know that I love you. You see my heart and you know that I love you. Then the Lord restores him to his apostleship again. And he said, feed my sheep and then come and follow me. And then he followed him again. So he restored his apostleship to them. Certainly this experience with the Lord Jesus, this feeling of restoration and forgiveness and acceptance, would strengthen anyone's faith. This is why it's particularly important that we come and we repent and we confess. We sit before Abuna, we say our sins and receive this absolution and this restoration once again between our relationship with us and God again. Because this strengthens our faith in Him. Because we feel this indebtedness. I've come broken, not confident in myself, and I receive the forgiveness from Him. And then He restores me, and now my faith is strengthened. So when we experience God's forgiveness and are aware of His grace, this strengthens our faith. Lastly, going to and serving the church strengthens our faith. This we can take from St. Paul's encounter on the road to Damascus. The Lord appeared to St. Paul as one out of due time, as he says. So he was going to Damascus to capture Christians, to bring them back to Jerusalem to try them, as he did with Saint Stephen and witnessed his martyrdom. He was going to do this to the believers in Damascus. So on his way, the Lord appears to him and he rebukes him. And he sees this great light and he goes blind. Right, so he's going with his soldier or these two soldiers or whatever to go and to capture the Christians. And then what happens after he meets the Lord and he's blinded, and the Lord tells him, okay, go to Damascus and I'll tell you what you should do. These two soldiers, rather than carrying the Christians, they're carrying Paul now to the church in Damascus. And he tells Saint Paul, arise, go to the city, and you will be told what you must do. The Lord doesn't tell him what he should do, nor does he baptize him. Nor does he give him any instruction, because this was not the plan from the beginning. The plan from the beginning is he did the work of redemption and salvation. Now it's the church's job now to continue to share the gospel and to baptize and preach and teach. So he wasn't going to do this. So the Lord tells him, go to Damascus and I'll tell you what to do. So make a long story short, the Lord Jesus appears to Ananias, who's the bishop of Damascus, tells him about Paul and tells him that he's a servant of mine, and to baptize him and heal him from his blindness. So he goes and he's healed from his blindness, and then he's baptized and he's given the Holy Spirit. Here we learn what? That one's faith is strengthened when we go to the church. When we go to the church and when we serve in the church, our faith is strengthened in him. Listen to what Abba Pieman says. He says, let your hands always be busy with charity and service, and your faith shall not waver. So be busy with service and your faith will not waver. And that's true. When we serve in the church, our faith is strengthened. How? Because we see how God works in the lives of the people around us, through the kids, through the adults, through the youth, through everyone. And Saint Athanasius, in his letter to Saint Serapion, he says what? We are strengthened in faith when we live among the saints, both those among us and those who have gone before us, whose lives testify to Christ. So he said, we're strengthened in our faith when we live among the saints. There are saints who live among us now that maybe we're not declared as saints, and perhaps we won't even know that they're saints until we go to heaven. But we can learn from the faithfulness of the people who are around us. For example, for me, I learn from people who are like very elderly, and they're coming to the 5 a.m. liturgy. And I look at that and say, man, I wish if, when I'm their age, I could just simply walk to church. But they're making a point to wake up early and to come in, to come to church, and all the struggles that elderly people go through just to move around. But they do it, right? When you see the children who come at a very young age and are able to come early and able to be attentive during the liturgy, this is something very inspiring. People who are able to endure hardship with a smile on their faith, on their face, and with thanksgiving. This is amazing. This is saint status, right? So living among people like this increases and strengthens our faith. So we said there are three types of faith: the trust, the faithfulness, and belief. And we said the ways in which we can strengthen our faith is the personal encounter with the Lord through prayer and tisbeha, consuming the word, whether it's the word of God or the Eucharist, or going into confession and having this restoration also strengthens our faith. And lastly, going to church and serving the church also strengthens our faith. May God strengthen all of our faith in him and all of his promises. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.